Good morning. I'd like to call House Fisheries Committee. We're in the right place. Fisheries Committee meeting to order. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, and the time is 11:01 a.m. We are meeting in the Max Grimberg Committee Room 120 in the Capitol Building here in Juneau. I ask that you please silence your cell phones. The staff assisting us today is Shelby with the Juneau LIO and Cheryl from House Records. Thank you for your work. The following members present is Representative Johnson, Representative Hemshute, Representative Carpenter, Representative Stutes, Representative McCabe, and myself, Chair Vance. We have a quorum to conduct business. We have one item on today's calendar, and that is to hear SJR 14, Support State Seafood Industry. So I would now like to invite Senator Bishop and his staff up to the table to be able to walk us through this resolution. Please state your name for the record and begin.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you, and members of the committee. But Madam Chair, thank you for hearing this resolution this morning. We appreciate it. My name is Click Bishop, Senator for District R. And my staff will introduce herself.
Yeah, good morning. I am Erin Shine, and I'm staff to Senator Bishop.
Please continue.
Thank you. So I have a tendency to go off script, but I'm not going to go off script because she's worked really hard, and I've got a good script, and I'm going to stay right on it. So Alaska seafood industry is a vital part of our economy. As the largest contributor of seafood harvested in the United States, we play an important role in the global seafood production. In Alaska's seafood industry, we harvest 5 to 6 billion pounds of seafood. We employ almost 50,000 people. It's a $6 billion economic impact to the state of Alaska. It provides 60% of seafood harvested in the United States and exports to over 100 countries worldwide. However, currently in Alaska, the seafood industry faces numerous challenges: high interest rates, inflation, increased competition from foreign countries, changing international trade conditions, a strong U.S. dollar, and the pandemic has fundamentally changed consumer spending habits. And at the same time, it's made it more expensive for fishermen to process, operate, and harvest those salmon and whitefish in our market, in our oceans. There's just a lot of supply out there. You have to have these tough market conditions, and a lot of product is sitting in cold storage, and that's getting harder to sell. And cold storage doesn't come cheap. It's expensive to store and warehouse that frozen product. All these impact fishing families and local economies. SJR 14 aims to support our congressional delegation in their strategic efforts to encourage similar treatment of Alaska seafood by the federal government as the other sources of seafood products, as other sources of food products. We're trying to get, we heard Senator Sullivan speak, and he's trying to get us on par with the agriculture industry, and I support that. I believe we all do. That's what this resolution is going to do. Also, we want to improve our federal programs to support efforts by the federal government to establish the Office of Seafood Policy and Program Integration within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We want to encourage federal interagency occupations and support increased seafood presence in the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. Very important. About three quarters of Alaska state legislature sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture last month asking for more support and purchases of Alaska seafood. And I think those of you that signed on to that have recently received a letter from the USDA acknowledging that fact, and they're making those purchases. So thank you for that. And the industry thanks you. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has just announced it plans to purchase about $100 million of Alaska pink salmon, sockeye salmon, and at $70 million through the Section 32 of the Commodity Credit Corporation. These letters and resolutions help. They work. We've heard our delegation time and time again when they come and present to us that these resolutions carry impact And this is just one more along the way to help our delegation help our industry. And I would appreciate your support. So Ms. Shine's here for any follow-up questions. And I need to go to a leadership meeting that Mr. Johnson and I are going to be attending here not too soon, not too distant future, excuse me. Thank you.
Thank you for your introduction, Senator. I'd like to state for the record that we've been joined by Representative McCormick at 1106. Representative McCabe.
Thanks, and Senator, I appreciate that you have to leave pretty soon. So seemed to me when I first got on this committee, maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, there was a discussion about the U.S. Trade Representative office and how they didn't even mention in their data, Alaska Seafood, not even mentioned. It's the largest employer and brings in the largest amount of revenue to the state, or a large amount of revenue next to oil. Is that still the case? I mean, I was kind of trying to look it up real quick in here, but I can't. But it seems like they've totally ignored the Alaska seafood industry.
I couldn't answer that myself without doing a data dive, but we have a long and distinguished list of speakers that might be able to answer that question, and we've got some great invited testimony that I think you're going to find really compelling as to why we need to keep supporting our seafood industry, and I won't steal any of their comments because thank you.
Thanks.
Ms. Shine, did you have any presentation?
Madam Chair, I'm only here to answer any questions that you might have about the resolution itself. But as Senator Bishop said, there's quite an extensive list of people that can.
Well, let's proceed with your invited testimony. And so I will let you direct who you would like to hear from first.
Okay. Madam Chair, I think Julie Decker from Pacific Seafood Processors Association is online, I believe.
Welcome, Ms. Decker. Please state your name for the record and continue with your invited testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, loud and clear.
Great. Chair Vance and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Julie Decker. I live in Wrangell and have worked in the seafood industry for 30 years, beginning in 1994, when I traveled north to work in a cannery during college summer break. I'm now the president of the Pacific Seafood Processors Association, or PSPA, and I'm here to express strong support for SJR 14. PSPA is a trade association which represents 11 major seafood processing companies operating over 30 facilities in Alaska. Our member companies buy hundreds of millions of pounds of fish from fishermen, process it, and move it to market so millions of people worldwide can enjoy wild Alaska seafood. PSPA member companies have made significant investments in the future of Alaska seafood, spending hundreds of millions of dollars in facilities and processing technology, value-added product development, and marketing. Our members have also made large capital investments in the communities in which they operate. In addition to thousands of direct and indirect jobs, our member companies create markets for thousands of independent commercial fishermen and contribute millions in tax revenue to state and local economies. Many coastal communities in Alaska depend on Alaska seafood for an economic foundation in those communities. Often the health of the Alaska seafood industry and the health of these communities are interdependent. The Alaska seafood industry is facing economic conditions now unlike any since the collapse of salmon value in the 1990s and early 2000s, except this time it's across multiple species. We haven't seen that before. In 2023, multiple global and national economic factors occurring simultaneously created dire economic conditions and resulted in a free fall of seafood prices, millions of dollars in losses, and in some cases, processors stopped buying fish to reduce further losses. We estimate the loss to Alaska's economy in 2023 alone was $2 billion, $1 billion in lost first wholesale revenues, and $1 billion in decreased spending on vessels and facilities. Economic conditions in 2024 are unlikely to improve. Fishermen and processors have borne the brunt of these impacts to date. However, communities are beginning to feel the trickle-down effects, which continue to increase as more businesses and residents feel the pain across the state. While some challenging market conditions will improve over time, the need for state and federal government action is critical at this time in order to support seafood industry and help meet current challenges. PSPA is very grateful to the sponsor and the many co-sponsors of SJR 14 for their leadership in creating a public dialogue about the problems and support for some of the solutions at the federal government level. PSPA strongly supports this resolution and the federal actions it urges, and I thank you for your time today. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you, Ms. Decker. Do members have any questions? Seeing none, I believe we have next in line is Tracy Welch from UFA. Please come to the table, state your name for the record, and begin your invited testimony.
Good morning, Chair Vance, members of the committee. My name is Tracy Welch, and I am the Executive Director for United Fishermen of Alaska. I've also had the opportunity and privilege of being a harvester for over 30 years here in Southeast and can speak to any questions for the harvesting sector. As I'm sure you're all aware, but I would be remiss if I didn't take a chance to mention this for the record, we're facing unprecedented times in the seafood industry. There's great uncertainty for harvesters and processors alike. At last count, I believe we were at over 17 processing plants up for sale. We have fishermen who are facing the inability to make payments and are talking about tying up their boats for the season and searching for other opportunities. There's a lot of things that are out of our control, such as the international markets and Russia continuing to dump product on the market on pennies on the dollar. But there are things that we can move the needle on here in the U.S., many of those that are outlined in SJR 14. These are areas such as trade reciprocity, urging the USDA to treat seafood similar to other proteins, access to USDA programs, such as guaranteed funding, increasing funding for SK programs for product development and marketing and research, and urging an increase in government purchases on seafood are initiatives that UFA and other industry partners have been working on for years. And we sincerely appreciate this joint resolution and echoing and elevating these positions to those in the U.S. and Alaska. Thank you. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Welch? Seeing none at this time, thank you. Next, we have John Daly from OBI, Ocean Beauty Seafood. If you could please state your name for the record and please continue with your invited testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. For the record here, my name is John Daly. I'm the Vice President of Sales and Marketing with OBI Seafood. Thank you for hosting this discussion today, and good morning to everyone in the room. We'll be brief here, less than 4 minutes, but a quick introduction on myself. I've had the pleasure of working for 17 years and counting in the Alaska seafood business. I'm currently also having the pleasure of serving the great state of Alaska on the ASME Board of Directors. At OBI Seafoods, we employ over 1,500 workers in Alaska during the peak summer season. We operate between 8 and 10 shorefront seafood production facilities each year. We supply multiple species of wild Alaska seafood to American consumers and also to distributors and buyers all over the world. We will coincidentally only be operating 7 of our facilities this year due to these market conditions you're hearing about today. Just want to briefly touch on 2 major points. These 2 points are the largest issues affecting the way that OBI Seafoods and that many other Alaska seafood processors like us do business in Alaska. The first is geopolitical. Industry is experiencing major fallout from Russia's conflict with Ukraine that began in 2022. A significant percentage of Alaska commodity seafood is sold into European and Chinese markets every year. Europe and China as a percent of export value of Alaska seafood was 55%, over half in 2012. It's down to 45% in 2022. And in 2023, that number will be significantly lower than 45%. And this is due to price behavior from Russia. They positioned all of their seafood commodities on the world market at below levels of Alaska seafood and below prices we need to sustain business and to pay a sustainable price to our harvesters. This affects wild Alaska pollock. It affects chum salmon, pink salmon, other species as well. Many of those species saw a 50% price decline on the world market in 2023. Just as an example for scale, I think many of us know this. Russia's pink salmon harvest was 1 billion pounds last year. That's over 3 times the size of Alaska. So that commodity has major influence on the world market. This has led to a liquidity issue for Alaska processors who are forced to pivot away from those key historical markets. If there's good news here, it will further encourage a focus on the U.S. domestic market, but we have the most robust market on earth here in the United States, and the competition is high. U.S. markets also operate on a just-in-time inventory basis, so producers are holding inventory for longer and shouldering more risk as they market the product. The second and final piece, I think, that's affecting Alaska processors most acutely is operational, and it's related to the current interest rates and borrowing costs. Interest rates are up three times against what they were in 2020, and the interest costs that are being bared by the processors are up four times against 2020 if you factor that drop in consumer spending, which has resulted in processors holding more inventory for longer at those high rates. We only get one chance to purchase all the pounds from harvesters and create inventory. For a reference, OBI purchased 240 million pounds from fishermen in 2023, the majority of that in a 90-day span. We hold that inventory for 6, 12, 18 months, depending on the item, as we distribute that into the world market. So the answer, we feel the most immediate pathway to relief for industry is via the United States Department of Agriculture. Among other things, SJR 14, which we strongly support, urges the federal government to create an Office of Seafood Policy within USDA that will ensure domestic food security. It will boost supply chain efficiency and ultimately build more predictability and value into the Alaska seafood industry. We feel this will be a key piece in growing USDA's understanding of Alaska seafood supply chain and a step toward having our processors and harvesters treated like American farms and American farmers. The second point under USDA is that's the quickest path to inventory relief for commodity purchasing. There's no customer in the country right now willing to commit to Alaska seafood at those volumes and those shipment schedules. So thank you to everyone on the committee. The legislature who assisted with pressing USDA to issue their Section 32 solicitations for canned salmon and frozen pollock last month. Many of those bids have already been tendered, and we expect to hear the results within this week. Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you for your testimony. We have a question from Representative Hemshoop.
Thank you, Chair Vance. Through the chair, I just want to confirm if we can get this, so to speak, floodgate door to open, we're committed to providing fish into the future through USDA. It's not just right now. We're trying to create a pathway for the market in future years as well, correct? Mm-hmm.
Mr. Daly, did you hear the question from Representative Hemshoot?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Certainly. The problem is twofold. The inventory is backed up now, and the USDA offers that quick relief. But certainly the long-term goal would be to get more USDA programs on Alaska seafood, the school lunch program, other institutional programs, and build a long-term dependable supply chain process through USDA. There's been some comments before about USDA's lack of understanding around what they call their aquatics program, which is mostly made up of Alaska seafood. So certainly building that understanding within USDA would be something industry would support and would plan to support long into the future as more Americans eat more seafood.
Thank you, Mr. Daly, for your testimony. We also have available for questions Jeremy Woodrow with ASME, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Would you like to comment? Welcome to the table. Please state your name for the record.
For the record, my name is Jeremy Woodrow. I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Would you like me to comment on the resolution?
If you, yes, please, and give us more information that can help create a fill in the gaps on anything that hasn't been already said.
Happy to do so. Thank you, Madam Chair. So for Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, our job really is to drive demand and expand markets and make Alaska seafood more competitive in the global markets. We do this with the cooperation of the federal governments, whether it's through the USDR or through the USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service. the problem is that our global market is becoming more and more challenging for Alaska seafood. In the last several decades, for lack of better terms, the U.S. trade policy become more and more xenophobic, and our ability to sell seafood overseas has become more difficult. Just to use China as an example that Mr. Daly spoke to, in China, we have a 30% tariff rate higher than our competitors. So when he speaks to the fact that, a competitor like Russia is dumping seafood at historically low prices, well, we have to come into China 30% higher than their low price to begin with. That's nearly impossible to compete in a country like that, especially when they're driving the market with three times as much pink salmon as we currently have. Other examples that we can go through, and that speaks to this bill, is working with the United States Trade Representative's office on making sure that we have that seafood is part of the negotiation table, or is on the table when we negotiate as a country with other countries or other areas in the world for seafood policy or for trade policy. And one example of that is when recently the U.S. negotiated with Japan on what was called a phase one. There was never really going to be a phase two, but a phase one deal for trade. Seafood was completely left off the table. Everyone in this room and probably everyone listening knows that Japan are major consumers of seafood and Alaska seafood. And so for not have fair and equitable tariffs going into one of the largest seafood eating nations in the world, that makes it more, once again, more competitive and a disadvantage for Alaska seafood to compete in Japan. And then what we see here, and we speak to some of the challenges we have globally, right now the Japanese yen is incredibly low to the U.S. dollar. That makes it more difficult for us to once again sell our seafood into one of our most important export markets. So I could go on and on with examples, but what this resolution speaks to is it's providing support to our delegation. Our delegation is doing an amazing job. Their voice is a lot louder than just one state's voice normally would be in D.C., but having your support and speaking to the issues that will help our industry in some of the federal arenas is definitely what we need to secure ourselves in the future. Right now, we're in an economic storm that's not going to be solved necessarily overnight. Some of the issues on this resolution are what we need to help our industry in the long term as well. And these definitely, if we can secure these, if we can get this over the line, then I can see major improvements for our industry into the future.
Thank you, Mr. Woodrow. We have a question from Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Chair Vance. Mr. Woodrow, I actually have two questions, one for Representative Stutz, who had to leave. But my question is, so it's been, I think, 3 years now that our Ambassador Tai has been in her position, 2021, I believe. And their website today, and I just looked it up, to this day says zero about Alaska fish, not about the $6 billion total economic activity in Alaska, 161 million. I mean, I'm looking it up, 845 million pollock surimi fillets, 313 million pounds of sockeye. I mean, we have a significant seafood industry, and the U.S. Trade Representative doesn't even mention it in their Alaska, when you click on the state for Alaska. So my question is, how can we solve that? I mean, it's been 3 years. I know we sent our letter 3 years ago from this committee, I think. I mean, if the U.S. Trade Representative doesn't, and I'm saying this more to get it on the record, but if they don't recognize our fishing industry and the economic activity that comes from our fishing industry to this state and the country, how can they possibly go forward and negotiate tariffs and that sort of thing with Japan? I mean, as far as they're concerned, obviously, we have no industry. So I guess my question is what else can we do? This resolution helps and it's addressed to her, but what else can we do to help you? And then I have a follow-up.
Through the chair, Representative, you speak to the heart of what's the issue that we have here and that why this resolution has been created, right? Is there's an institutional fundamental problem in D.C. when it comes to seafood. They ignore us, especially in some of these major agencies such as USTR and USDA, that we aren't treated fairly as the other agricultural products are. Senator Sullivan was incredibly effective when it came to the Russian seafood ban. Maybe this is his next bone to go after.
Follow-up. Thanks. Follow up. So And for Representative Stutes, she wants to know what the return on each $1 the state invests in ASME, how much return do you figure we get from ASME?
Through the chair, I don't have that number in front of me right now. I'd be happy to get back to the committee on that. We measure by separate promotions. I can just give you one example. You know, working with distributors, for every dollar we work with distributors in the U.S. market in the last year, over 60 pounds of seafood was sold through those distributor promotions. And that's just one example of return on investments.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great if you don't mind. If you have even just an example, I think would suffice like that. Thanks.
Representative Hemshoot.
Thank you. Through the chair, I have a couple of questions. My first one has to do with something I recall Senator Sullivan saying in his address to the legislature, where he said Norway invests $5 million in marketing to the U.S., and yet, what is your total budget?
Through the chair, Representative, ASME's spend plan for this current fiscal year is just over $21 million. To kind of tease out where you're going there, Norway Seafood Councils, they announced their budget for, and they're doing it on a calendar year, so 2024 to be just over $46 million. And they announced that they're going to spend $5 million in the U.S. marketplace, which is about the same amount as our U.S. market spend.
Follow up?
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, this is a moment of education for me. What does ASME provide for small boat fishermen? When you market Alaska seafood, is it monolithic? Is just all the seafood in Alaska? Or are you marketing from certain sectors, so to speak?
Through the chair, that's a good question. So by statute, ASME's direction is to market Alaska Seafood as a holistic brand. We do tell the Alaska Seafood story through our individual fishermen, through our individual species, but it's always about promoting Alaska Seafood. So, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, for the pun intended there. We do provide quite a bit of resources, though, for an array of industry members, whether you're a large processor all the way down to a small boat fisherman, from quality handling to the ability to market your catch. We see a growing sector in the seafood industry in Alaska as direct marketers, and so we provide a host of materials on our website and also printed materials that they can use to help sell their catch as well. And that's just one example of how we support the smaller boat fishermen who are maybe trying to do a little bit more than just catch fish these days.
Follow up.
Final follow-up, and I'm getting a little bit away from the resolution, but in the face of the Wild Fish Conservancy lawsuit, I think there's concern about Alaska king salmon's place in the market. And I will speak for my region, which on this poster is $1.18 billion of economic output in the industry, and that is in no small part due to our trawlers and their king salmon. So is there anything specific you're doing to help with marketing wild-caught king salmon?
Through the chair, Representative, wild-caught king salmon from Alaska, like many of our species, is becoming more and more of a niche marketplace item, especially when you, if you speak to salmon alone in respect to farm salmon. Just to throw some more numbers at you, for wild salmon versus farm salmon in the global marketplace, wild salmon represents less than 15% of available salmon to consumers. Of that 15%, about 8% of that or more is Russian salmon. So that means we're about 7% or so. That represents the global salmon market. Our king salmon is even a smaller fraction of that, as you well know. King salmon is not a volume species, it's a premium species. And so our ability to compete in the global marketplace becomes very nuanced when it comes to a premium product like Alaska king salmon. Where Alaska king salmon does well is at high-end markets, high-end restaurants, and so that's how we support those fishermen, is in those places with their education, with chefs, with distributors, and making sure that it's considered a premium product and it's kept at that premium price that it deserves.
Direct marketing thing again, to some degree.
Through Representative, a little bit of direct marketing, but you know, there is enough volume for us to do promotions in retail stores, but it's such the value and the price that king salmon places in the marketplace, it requires sometimes a different approach because it is a premium product. Similar to like what you think king crab, right? King crab is not an everyday item for most consumers. Not everybody can go out and afford $75 a leg. King salmon is kind of in that realm as well. It's not an everyday purchase for most consumers because it tends to go into higher price points. So the way that we market it is going to be a little different than, say, how you would market Alaska pollock or pink salmon.
I feel that much luckier that I live in a place where king salmon is a regular part of the diet. Thank you.
Representative Carpenter.
I have some questions, but I'm not sure who they're directed to. It's about the resolution itself. So I can wait until after we have all the invited testimony and ask my questions.
Okay, I do have one question for Mr. Woodrow, and then we will bring Ms. Shine back up for the resolution. In speaking to trying to partner with USDA, is this going to increase our value of Alaska fish? And what is the portfolio plan for the USDA as a potential buyer?
To the chair, the work with USDA really is two-part when I look at this resolution. One, it's working with them to become a better customer for Alaska seafood, so more Alaska seafood products can be purchased into USDA programs. The other part of establishing a seafood office in USDA, and actually I should say there's three part. One is to treat our fishermen and our processors and our seafood industry the way that the agricultural, land-based agricultural products and commodities are also treated. And the other part to that as well is providing support programs for organizations like ASME or other organizations to do more to continue to promote seafood in the United States or elsewhere in the world. They do provide some programs currently that as we, you know, we do receive federal funding that has to be used for overseas marketing. That makes up actually almost the majority of our, probably over 50% of our current spend plan budget has to be used for overseas marketing. That comes from the USDA currently. More programs like that is going to definitely raise the value of Alaska seafood. What we're trying to find is more customers. And the more customers we have, the more competition we have, and the more likely it is that you can then you increase that volume when you have a higher demand.
So at the first part of your comment, and it's here in the resolution, and is talking about being treated the same as farmers. And I know that Senator Sullivan has spoken with that. Tell us what that would look like for the seafood industry.
To the chair, right now there are certain relief programs that are provided to our land-based farmers that are not provided to our seafood industry. You could use, say, like crop insurance is just one example. When you have downturns in the harvest of certain, you know, land-based programs or land-based products, they have the ability to insure those crops through USDA. Our fishermen do not have that same ability. We know that when you apply for disaster relief, that those funds sometimes take many years for it to come through. And when those funds do come through, it's almost too late to help out those fishermen that have already left the industry. If we had a similar program in place for our industry, and this is just one example, perhaps our fishermen can have a little bit more assurance to get back on the water the next season when you have one down season.
All right. Thank you. Any further questions for Mr. Woodruff? All right. Thank you for being available. Ms. Shine, if you could come and field some specific questions on the resolution. Representative Carpenter.
Thank you. Through the chair, the resolution speaks about NOAA, National Seafood Strategy, and Chapter 9 of the Trade Promotion Coordinating Committee's 2023 National Export Strategy. Have those been summarized somewhere so that we can better understand what we're asking for?
Yeah, for the record, this is Erin Shine, staff to Senator Bishop. Through the chair, Representative Carpenter, I have a copy of the Chapter 9. It's a short section of that report, and I'm happy to provide that to the committee, but I can try and summarize it a little bit right now if you'd like me to, or I can provide you a copy.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. So, let me go through this. So they, in the report to support the seafood industry, they're calling for coordinated interagency efforts on seafood trade policy and export promotion, which we've talked about through Mr. Woodrow's testimony as well as others. Also facilitate trade strategies and increase access to foreign markets, and also in line with what this resolution is requesting or trying to support with our federal delegation. Also conducting trade promotion activities to support the U.S. seafood industry and improve outreach and communications with the seafood industry on trade. So I feel like it's a very trade-heavy for foreign markets as well as local and domestic markets.
Very good.
Follow up?
I just want to – I can do my research and find that as well. I guess I would like to know more about what the strategies are before I sign on to the resolution.
And through the chair, I will provide that to Mr. Almeida and to the chair if you want to distribute it.
Thank you. On page 2 of the resolution, line 28 and 29, it says, further resolve that this Alaska State Legislature request all federal agencies and programs to increase purchases of Alaska seafood. This sounds promising, but I have concerns about this being a type of subsidy for the state that may not be the best long-term plan. Can you expand upon what the need for that line is? It's very, very broad. And is that just speaking of, you know, the USDA food program is just a small piece of the portfolio? Is there more to it than has been previously spoken?
Thanks, Madam Chair, for that question. This was included as more of a broad resolution or resolve for any market or any way that we can promote and increase the purchases of Alaska seafood, be it through ASME, through other federal programs, if there's some issue with this in here, I don't know that it would be bad to remove that if you feel like it's too broad or trying to create somewhat of a subsidy. But this wasn't specifically speaking to one program other than that's outlined in the resolution currently.
Thank you for that. And the reason that I highlight that is, yes, we want to look at every available market. But I think there's a growing concern. I mean, what we've seen of the farming industry across the U.S. is that it's relied on government subsidies and it has turned into corporate farming. And so our individual farmers are not thriving in producing the quality foods that Americans want. Mm-hmm. And I think that shift over time has not benefited, you know, families and really the purchasers as well. And I don't want to see that happen with our Alaskan fisheries. I think we see a trend in moving to corporate fishery, and that's very, very concerning for Alaskans. And so everything that we do, I want to look at increasing the value of the product and its return to Alaskan fishermen, not just the impact that it makes to our economy, but all of the relationships within that. And so I want to make sure that we're not only addressing the current need, which obviously we have an excess of inventory that we need to be able to sell quickly. And I know that the 100 million pounds of peak salmon is that. And I'm super appreciative of that. But this is a robust resolution that I would really like us to consider. Are we strengthening the private sector that can stand on its own for the industry in the long term and not continue to rely on purchases from government that may not be sustainable? So that's the where I'm coming from on this. So whatever we can do to turn those dials on what's truly going to work for our markets is the direction that I'm looking to go. Any further questions from committee members? Representative McCabe.
So maybe it's a question for you. Are we going to have any amendment date for this, or are you interested in amendments? I'd like to add the Pacific States Fisheries Commission to the copies sent. I happen to be a member. They're going to get a copy regardless of what you put it in there because I'll send it to them. But I think they should be on the formal addressees this sort of meets what their mandate is, actually, to promote fisheries for the Pacific states. And they have a huge amount of Alaska data gathering capabilities, which they are including. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to put in an amendment for that if you want to do it here, or I'm not sure what your plans are. So thanks.
I plan to set an amendment deadline to my office by tomorrow evening, if that works.
You're amazing. Thank you.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess this is a statement rather than a question. I am a little concerned, and it is not lost on me, that all members minus one of the other body have signed on to this resolution. I recognize that our fishing industry is suffering right now, and it's a complex issue. What I think I've summarized from this piece of legislation is our attempt to alleviate that suffering by requesting help is in three different areas, acknowledging that there's a trade imbalance and we need some assistance with that. There's maybe a marketing challenge that we're asking assistance with, and potentially a subsidy situation in case things don't go the way that we want them to. We don't want to lose our farms and or our fisheries. And I have to just piggyback. I wrote down here, massive feedlots and fewer family farms. Mm-hmm. That is a result of federal involvement in our farming industry in the United States, where small family operations cannot compete anymore. And that is to the detriment of our American culture. So I'm not sure what it means when we say treat seafood harvesting and processing the way we treat land-based protein to other people outside the state of Alaska. If it means that we need to get to more efficient and bigger processors and bigger boats, bigger nets as a economy of scale, to the exclusion of small family operations, small boats, and kids operating with their families, then I'm not sure I'm on board with that. I might need some more information to help me understand mm-hmm. what it is we're actually asking the federal government to help us do. If it is limited to trade imbalance, that might solve the problem altogether. Do I need to ask for some other thing that is a subsidy or some, I don't know. Let's ask for what we really need help with, would be my concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kermder. There's, I forget what line it's on, but talking about the, here it is on page 2, lines 16 through 20, in the supply chain integrity and the strategies for that. And I'm looking for a lifeline here on who's going to be the best to speak to that. I know that that has been a conversation within the industry here in the state, and if that's Mr. Woodrow, whoever is best to speak to that, of talking about needing assistance, because that has become an issue. And if you could provide more insight to the committee, I think that may help in a portion of the understanding here.
Yes. Madam Chair, if I might ask Mr. Woodrow to join me at the table. He understands that.
For the record, Jeremy Woodrow, Alaska Seafood Market Institutes. Which line are we looking at? Thank you. You mind if I just read it real quick, just one more time?
Yes, please.
So to the chair, how I read this section and what the seafood industry is trying to achieve through this is the USDA has multiple different programs to help farmers And I understand where Representative Carpenter is coming from. That, you know, our idea of farmers these days is different than maybe our grandparents' idea was of farmers, or maybe great-grandparents, if you really want to be honest here. But they have different programs in place to help food move through our economy. That's just, you know, that's how our economy is set up, is that you have to work through different programs. The supply chain for seafood is complex. It doesn't always make sense. When we look at some of the challenges we have right now, from the value of our fish that's being moved across the docks to what you might see the store price is, a lot of people don't understand what's going on in that supply chain. You know, who's collecting the value there, and why is a price of fish being sold for $11.99 a pound when the fisherman's only getting $1.50 a pound? That some of that is what that supply chain integrity is going to help with assuring, is that some of that is going to be solved. Some of it hopefully can be solved through some federal government help of looking into, you know, what is currently available to land-based commodity groups, and how can that be applied to our seafood supply chain? Some of the, you know, things that we're obviously focused on Alaska seafood here too, but a lot of these asks are also being asked by other seafood groups within the United States. This is really what our federal delegation is working on, is support that we're also seeing from other coastal seafood producing states as well. And we recognize that the seafood industry as a whole in the U.S. has challenges that our other competitors from the land-based agricultural groups do not. And so when we're looking at USDA and saying, hey, can you help us with this? This is what we're trying to fix, is where in the supply chain is broken, and how can we find solutions so that our fishermen and our producers are getting the best possible values that they can get when that product is then sold in any marketplace.
Mr. Woodrow, in conversations at the ASME's All Hands conference, I know there were conversations, in-depth conversations about the supply chain and requirements. And there was a big topic about origin. And that is something that consumers are wanting to know. Is that a requirement that is now placed on the supply chain, is to know every point of contact and origin of the fish?
Move to the chair. How much time do we have? And the reason I say that is because there are different labeling requirements when it comes to origin, but it also depends on where that product form is substantially transformed. And boy, you could have a couple of different House Fisheries hearings just on that topic alone, because it does get complex depending on where your fish goes, or where your product goes for that matter, and how much that's changed. Just to give you an example, that was part of the effort that was done through Senator Sullivan, Murkowski, and Petola on getting the executive order pushed through to ban seafood by way of third country, or ban Russian seafood by way of third country. Some of that deals with trade, some of that deals with significant product transformation, meaning that if you, say, buy pollock from Russia, turn it into a fish stick in China, send it to the U.S., it becomes a product of China, right? And that is now labeled as a product of China, not a product of Russia. That's just one example of the complexities of the supply chain. Do we have the ability to track that fish from the origin? Yes, we do. And there's different programs. There's different government programs. There's different third-party affiliate programs that can be used to track the source of that seafood, whether it's from the U.S. or elsewhere, and make sure that you know what it's called out through the supply chain and to that end customer. Is it being done? No. Could it be done better? Much so.
Thank you. But you answered my question of why we might need help, because there's so much more being placed on this that has a direct impact. Representative McCabe.
Thanks. And so isn't it even more than that? I mean, you didn't say it, but what about the billions of fish that the Russian oligarchs are releasing into the habitat that are decimating the habitat that Alaskan fish, wild fish, would normally use in the ocean how do we as fishermen, as the local fishermen, how do we combat that? How can we, it's not the Russian government that's doing it, it's private individuals that they're letting do that. And we have no possible way outside of the the full force and might of our government to really combat that, from what I'm hearing. And it's a, I mean, you're being very politically correct, and I get you're supposed to be, because that's what you're doing as a marketer for our fish. But I can say it. It's disheartening to see what's happening to our fishery, in a lot of cases caused by so many outside fish. So the government needs, I don't have a question, I'm just editorializing. So, bloviating. Thank you.
Agreed, Representative McCabe. Any further questions, Representative Carpenter?
I don't have a question. I'm just very leery of a central government managed fishery economy, like we have a central government managed beef industry. And that has not bode well for families. We got meat on the table, but we've got a decline of families in the nation. And I can't help but see that the two are related. I think that there are some good things in this resolution, especially as Representative McCabe has spoken about, with regard to things that are outside of our control. But just because we're falling on tough times doesn't mean we need to look to central government to solve our problems and make things easy for us. We need to be asking our federal government to be doing what only the federal government should be doing, which is dealing with our adversaries outside of our borders who are influencing our situation. But as far as supply chains inside, let the market handle it. I don't want government to solve that problem, because it comes with strings that I'm probably not going to like. Again, it's another editorial.
Well, we have run up against time, and I think for the time being, we've exhausted questions, but I do encourage more conversation with members as we look through this robust resolution and really get to the meat of what it's doing, because we do need great partnerships moving forward. And so I appreciate you being available, and everyone, all the other invited testimony, Mr. Woodrow, Ms. Welsh, and those who are online, thank you so much. And that concludes our business for today. We will set House Bill or Senate Joint Resolution 14 aside. We will meet again on Thursday, March 7th at 10 a.m. to bring this back before us. And I'm going to set an amendment deadline for tomorrow to my office by 5 p.m. And seeing there is no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect. It is 11:53 a.m.